Case 30 of the Book of Equanimity. Daizui's Kalpa Fire. First, the preface. It extinguishes all relativities and cuts off duality. To break off the ball of doubt, what phrase can be adopted? Cho'an is not more than a tiny step away. Taizan's weight is only 3 pounds. Tell me, according to what principle does one speak thus? So a few words about terms here that may not be familiar before we move on to the case. First, in the title, the Kalpa Fire. And this involves another interesting term that we'll come up against, the Chiliocosms. In the Buddhist tradition, I guess, mythology, if you will, it is believed that the Chiliocosms, which is all the universes together, everything that is at a given time, that they last for one kalpa. A kalpa is an unfathomably long time. There are various ways to describe this. I'm not going to go into it. But just beyond imagination long, the infinity of the universe. And so these Chiliocosms last for one kalpa. And then the great kalpa fire comes and destroys all of it. Everything burns. And for one kalpa, an unfathomably long time, there is just emptiness. I'm not sure what that means, there is emptiness, but that's the next part of the cycle. And then the universe arises again, and the whole cycle begins anew. The Chiliocosms begin. Here we have this preface, and then the main case. We'll come back to the preface. I'll read the main case so you know what we're talking about here. Attention! A monk asked Daizui, in the raging of kalpa fire, Chiliocosms are altogether destroyed. I wonder if this is destroyed or not destroyed. Daizui said, destroyed. The monk asked, if so, does everything go with it? Daizui said, everything goes with it. The same monk later asked Ryusai, in the raging of kalpa fire, Chiliocosms are together destroyed. I wonder if this is destroyed or not destroyed. Ryusai replied, not destroyed. The monk asked, well, why is it not destroyed? Ryusai replied, because it is the same as the Chiliocosms. The same question, two different answers. There's a lot to delve into here. Let's see what the preface suggests. Generally, these prefaces sort of aim us in a particular direction, give us a little hint of where we're headed. So this preface says, it extinguishes all relativities and cuts off duality. So a hint that our usual way of looking at things may not suit for looking at this koan. But we have another alternative. There is not just form. That's one perspective that the human being can bring forth. But there's also this matter of emptiness or formlessness. As human beings, we can hold this perspective as well. When we do zazen, we dive into this place where there is no object to take hold of and no way to measure whatever it is that arises. It is of some different dimension, if you will, than that. And so he says, Cho'an is not more than a tiny step away. I believe Cho'an is a location in China, perhaps quite far from the temple where this talk was originally given. But he says, in this dimension, it's not more than a tiny step away. How do we measure things when we do our zazen and something arises? Can we say whether it's big or small? What do we measure it against? Can we say whether anything is far or near? Each thing seems to fill the universe, and yet perhaps is infinitesimally small. So we don't have a means of measuring. We don't have a way to take hold of something and know its absolute properties. That is the place that's being pointed to here. Cho'an is not more than a tiny step away. Taizan's weight is only 3 pounds. What is 3 pounds where there's nothing relative to that, no way to measure it? We could say 3 tons, same thing. And so we come to this main case where the monk asks, in the raging of Kalpa fire, Chiliocosms are together destroyed. I wonder if this is destroyed or not destroyed. So what is the monk asking? Here is a question that plagues him so much that he dares to approach the teacher, the great teacher of the temple, and ask. And not only that, when he's not satisfied with the answer, he asks somebody else, another great teacher. This is really boring into him. He needs to know. And what is this question? How is this question ours as well? Someone was recently quite surprised when I suggested that all of the koans are actually about ourselves. This koan too, about each one of you. What is your great question? If everything is destroyed, is there anything that continues on? Generally, we're mostly concerned about our own destruction. That's the one that we see coming the closest. And we manufacture all kinds of stories, whether we are aware of it or not, to convince ourselves that something will go on, that the great earth will go on without us, our children, our grandchildren, and so on, that there will be this succession. And we hold on to this as a way to give ourselves comfort, really. There's one person in our Sangha in Bright Sea who's in a wheelchair. This is as a result of an assault that happened to him when he was in college and out late one night. He was walking home by himself, and two men approached him, one of them with a piece of 2x4, and came up to him and knocked him in the back of the head, breaking his cervical vertebrae. He dropped to the ground unconscious, and when he awoke sometime in the wee hours, he was paralyzed and waited there interminably, kalpas, for somebody to find him. He wondered, we were talking about anxiety, and he wondered, why does he have so much anxiety? Why does it continue on when other people seem to go about their lives so easily? We all manufacture stories about how our life will go, that there will be perhaps, you know, we each have our own stories, but perhaps it involves marriage and children and buying a house and growing old gracefully or grouchily, whatever appeals to us, and, you know, seeing our family expand and whatever, travel. But this person in the wheelchair knew that all of those stories could come to an abrupt end in 1 second. That they were just the things we held out to protect us from the fact that our lives are incredibly fragile. At any moment, anything could happen, utterly beyond our control. We couldn't live with that kind of anxiety without our stories, so they are really useful. But we also need to know that that's all they are. And so this monk has his own story about something that will continue on, even if everything is wiped out. And he's asking, isn't this true? Isn't something going to continue on? It, whatever this it is, Buddha nature, some sort of soul or consciousness or awareness, is something that goes on. And Dai Zui perhaps recognizes where the monk is coming from, and recognizes that at this point in the monk's practice, it's not a useful fiction. And so he sweeps it out from under him. It is destroyed. There is nothing to hold on to. Don't bother with your stories. Look at how things really are. And the monk persists. If this is so, does everything go with it? I mean, he's holding on tight. Don't we all? Even, you know, just our consciousness when we do zazen. Where do we put ourselves? Against what are we measuring everything? Awareness, does awareness go? Everything goes with it, Dai Zui says. No place to stand. In a way, the monk's question, so this original question, I wonder if this is destroyed or not destroyed. The question itself is somewhat at fault, and this is often the case with difficult questions, that our frame of reference in even posing the question is somehow off. In the preface, we heard that it extinguishes all relativities and cuts off duality. So the monk's question about whether it's destroyed or not destroyed is stepping right into the wrong frame of reference, one of duality, one of relativity. Is it this way or is it that way? Just tell me. So many of our really core difficult questions are not answerable because they haven't been framed correctly. And they're based on some deep assumption that we haven't even noticed. It's so deep that we have based everything on it without even questioning it. So Dai Zui is sweeping all of that away so that the monk can go back to square one and see what's wrong with this question. Is it destroyed or not destroyed? Presumably the monk doesn't get too far with that because he goes on to ask again. He asks Ryusai, in the raging of kalpa fire, chiliocosms are together destroyed. I wonder if this is destroyed or not destroyed. So we don't know if Ryusai knew about the first encounter or not. But at any rate, he takes a different tack. And he answers, not destroyed. So maybe this shakes up the monk a bit. He's really wondering now, which way is it? But maybe there's some hope here. So the monk asked, why is it not destroyed? Let's solidify this case for me so I can hang on. Why is it not destroyed? And Ryusai replied, because it is the same as the chiliocosms. The kalpa fire raging is the same as the thing that is burning. Here he reframes the entire question. He takes it out of the realm of relativities of one thing that is burned by another thing. This is not at all the situation. To look at it in this way is to miss the basic point of Choan not being any farther than a tiny step, of Taizan weighing 3 pounds or 3 tons, whichever, all of the above, none. To even ask the question, is it destroyed? Already we've missed the point. In this place where Choan is only a tiny step, there is no destroyed or not destroyed. The question doesn't arise whether or not something can continue on. Where is that place? We can hope that Diane will answer that for us.
So Kate and I are sharing the Taisho today because there's only one Taisho in this session. So she is the first wise voice here. And when I was working on this, and this, I believe, is Kate's favorite koan in the 500-plus koan collection that we study. So I was quite interested to see what I would learn from Kate. And I'm so touched by her bringing this really home to us in talking about the gentleman who's in the Bright Sea Sangha. And in a moment, you know, all the stories were forced out of the realm of possibility. And this koan, Dai Zui, he lived in the 10th century. So this is over 1,000 years ago, which is supposedly a small Chiliocosm. It's about 1,000 years. And to think that here we are, a small Chiliocosm away, considering these words and how they affect us today. And for me, this koan, as Kate so beautifully explained, is often delved into from the perspective of the personal, you know, what happens to us? Does anything survive? It reminded me so much of what it is like living in an era of climate change, where daily we are plagued by will it be destroyed or will it survive? And I was struck by how that question is very future-oriented. And I hadn't really considered how much that is the case until revisiting this koan. So all of my angst over what is happening in our world and how so many of us human beings seem unable to give any attention to it, how much the question is about this this future perspective. Will it be destroyed? Will it not be destroyed? And from that, I asked, how do we actually work in the present with this future orientation without getting caught in that future mind where, as Kate was talking about, and as the preface talks about, the mind of duality, the mind of here and now and self and other, subject, viewing object, subject, asking, will it, something it, be destroyed? And why does that matter? I think that's really important. Why does it matter for us to cut through this? I really appreciated Kate's going over the preface here, and at the very end of the preface it says, "Tell me, according to what principle does one speak thus?" Which is, you know, what are your grounds for saying this? You know, what is it that extinguishes all relativities and cuts off duality? And it also brought me back to the Dogen essay that we worked on in our last Dogen class, which is the Makka Hanya Haramitsu, the Dogen's perspective on the Heart Sutra. And in Dogen's perspective, you know, he tells us that it, Buddha nature, whether it is some Buddha nature that we conceive of as ourselves or we conceive of as something, as the universe, that it is not some abstract concept. It is just the myriad things themselves as they exist. And we need to open our mind's eye to the reality of this. Instead of getting caught in these concepts of there being an it to be destroyed or not to be destroyed. I read that Yasutani Roshi in our lineage said, all of us must be in a state of mind to be able to accept these words of Dai Zui with total gratitude. Total gratitude to accept Dai Zui's words destroyed. See how that, everything just cuts through, disappears. All of our ideas of self, of earth, of destroyed, of not destroyed, everything is cut through. And to be so grateful that this is a practice that is made available to us will allow us to actually live in this world of destroyed and not destroyed with attention and love and freedom. To for me to imagine we, each one of us, you know, out in the woods and seeing the tree that the Forest Service crashed down, you know, destroyed. Then seeing the caterpillar on the path, you know, not destroyed. And going a little further, you know, the bees seem to be gone, destroyed. Then next moment, you know, oh, look at how the lichens seem to grow no matter what, not destroyed. It is that, that the aliveness of this present moment that allows us to cease our preoccupation with destroyed and not destroyed and be truly present to what is. So Master Dogen said, when there is death, it exhausts the whole universe. So in birth, there is undivided activity of all things. In death, there is undivided activity of all things. And so for us, in each moment of death and birth and destruction and non-destruction, those are just words that we put on them. It is only in this present, intimate encounter with ourselves and the great thusness that is only thisness that we can come to feel how loved we are.
So at this point, you're...